You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live,
the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by Ned Coletti. Wednesday provided us with some great action across the majors. We'll dive right into all of it with the MLB on TuneIn Live triple play. Also discuss why Major League Baseball continues to schedule games that are likely to be rained out. We'll also talk about the hot start Francisco Lindor is off to. But Ned and I start tonight discussing Wednesday's games and how many excellent starting pitching performances we saw.
The MLB on TuneIn triple play presented by eSurance.
While you and I are going to get into Jameson Taillon's start, and deservedly so, we need to start with Chris Sale. Chris Sale making his Red Sox debut tonight, 7 shutout innings, a 3-hit baseball, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He was everything and more. And in Boston, it's all about, first of all, what have you done for me lately? But second of all, a first impression. You got to have a good first impression, because if not, you're going to dig yourself out of a hole. Chris Sale was brilliant tonight. What'd you see from him?
Oh, great pitching tonight. Great slider, great fastball life, tremendous changeup. You think about Chris Sale, you don't always think about the changeup. His changeup tonight was spectacular. Cool night in Boston. Probably was not the most conducive to pitching, but he pitched great tonight. And you're talking about pressure on a young man. Coming in that big trade, number one prospect in baseball, went to the White Sox to get Sale along with some other really good talented players. Debut, stunning.
You know, Ned, I've always said this, and I said it half jokingly, but I'm also serious. John Lester and Bruce Hurst are the two left-handers in Red Sox uniforms that have had success in Fenway Park as members of the Red Sox over the last 30 years. I mean, go try and find other left-handed starting pitchers that have had success there, and you won't. That's the problem. Well, even David Price struggled last year, and I'm not giving up on Price. I think he'll be fine. It's almost like Chris Sale's arsenal, though, makes him Fenway-proof. Like, he can go and pitch anywhere and be successful because his arsenal is so lethal. Everything he throws is a plus pitch, a plus-plus pitch.
Oh, yeah.
All of his offerings.
Oh, yeah, and he is tough-minded. He got into trouble last year in Chicago with some clubhouse stuff that probably, at least in my opinion, shouldn't have been doing, especially with the uniform issue. But this guy is a gamer. He plays hard. He competes like crazy, and he's been somebody that, with that delivery that he has always been one of those people that you wonder how long he will hold up. But he is really, really tough. Tonight was spectacular, and I think he is, as this season goes on, one of the topics will be, not that it really matters, but who is the ace of the Red Sox staff? You got David Price, you got Porcello, Cy Young Award winner. Chris Sale, I think, will end up being the ace of that staff.
Well, Porcello looked really good on opening day, so then there's Sale. And you were talking about David Price. I mean, Price, at least he's making baby steps to getting back out there on the field, but there's nothing that you can really say, oh, he's going to be back and he's going to be 100% again.
No, it's going to be a touch-and-go thing, I think, all year long with him. When you have the type of injury that he's had, and he has avoided the surgery, but he's also been in a spot where he has not really thrown for quite a while, except probably gingerly and a little bit here and there to build some arm strength, but to really be cautious as much as anything. And I think that's what's going to it'll be interesting to see what develops the rest of the year with him.
Yep. So again, Chris Sale, 7 shutout innings, a 3-hit baseball, a walk, and 7 strikeouts on a night where it was just nasty. You know, it's the 35 degrees by the end of the game. It started at 40. It got colder as the game went on. Obviously, Jameson Taillon was matching Sale pitch for pitch, but ultimately Sale and the Red Sox ended up getting a win. In 12 innings tonight, Sandy Leon hit the walk-off 3-run home run at the top of the Green Monster. And here's what Chris Sale had to say about tonight. He goes, I get nervous before every game. Tonight was a little different. It was special. I tried to go through my routine and also soak it in. You know, that's the amazing thing about Chris Sale. He's sitting there trying to soak in the moment because he knows the magnitude of going, with all due respect to the Chicago White Sox, from the White Sox to the Boston Red Sox in the thick of a pennant race this season. He'll be back in it again. And just knowing the history surrounding him, the city that he's pitching in, He is a Boston Red Sox now, and he went through tonight trying to soak things in.
Yep, and it's a big night. I mean, Boston, there's no place like Boston for Major League Baseball. You know, yeah, New York is one thing, Philadelphia is one thing, tough markets, fans really, really rabid, really in everything. I don't know that any of them are Boston, though. Boston is like the Super Bowl 81 times a year at Fenway Park. Every night's a festival, even on a cold April night. But, you know, he met the challenge. And when you're talking about trying to build a championship team, you look at how your players approach big moments. Even if the big moment is the third game of the season, it's still a big moment. Dave Dombrowski made a big deal to get Chris Sale, really added to Porcello, Cy Young Award winner. David Price, great, great pitcher. A team that is really built to win year in, year out. So a lot of pressure on a lot of different people going into tonight. And when your man Sale goes out there and he throws seven innings, has four base runners, one walk, three hits, seven strikeouts, you know what? Everybody takes a little bit of a sigh of relief, and you know you got quality. You don't just have a guy that can pitch and a guy that's got good stuff. You've got absolute quality.
All right, so besides for Sale, in that same game, Jameson Taillon matched Sale. I mean, inning for inning. Seven shutout innings, five hits. He walked three, but he struck out six. As much as I love what Sale was doing on a bright stage, the bright lights, the big stage, I mean, Jameson Taillon, what he did was more impressive. Nothing was expected out of this guy. He's going up against the Boston lineup. 18 starts. This was his 19th start of his career, and he goes out and does that. Really impressed with Taillon tonight. Hopefully he can stay healthy, because if he does and he can kick the trend that he had in the minors, he's going to be a really good pitcher for a really long time with the Pirates.
Well, it's a big move for Pittsburgh. The team has had really a lot of success under Neil Huntington the last few years and Clint Hurdle. And this year is going to be a little bit different story for them in that their young pitching is really going to they need their young pitching to step forward. Here's somebody who was a number two pick in the country back in 2010 and is finally starting to get to the big leagues. A little bit last year. This year, obviously, he's their number three starter as of right here, right now. But he's somebody that if that team is going to get back into competing at the highest level, which is where they've been for most of the last three, 4 years, he's going to have to be one of the guys that take a step. You got Gerrit Cole over there. You got some good young pitching. They're building a good young staff. He's somebody that they've waited for. And maybe today is one of those games that he'll use to mark time with as a game that he really turned a corner. Pitched pretty well last year, but they have waited for a while, and they've waited through some injuries with him as well.
Ned, he's not the only young guy that had a nice start tonight. Brandon Finnegan, seems like he's been in the league for a long time because he was with the Royals, pitched out of the pen, the World Series a couple of years ago. Well, he's with the Reds. He struggled last year trying to develop a third pitch. Tonight, after a rough spring, seven shutout innings, one hit baseball, nine strikeouts. You know, Finnegan probably had the best night statistically out of everybody. He had a one-hour rain delay, goes out there and shut the Phillies down.
He pitched great, and he is somebody that I think he pitched in both the College World Series and the Major League World Series the same year. I think he was drafted and came to the big leagues really, really quick. So there was a lot of expectation with him. He pitched well, but he also pitched out of the pen. And now he's in a spot in Cincinnati where they want him to start. They want him to develop into a starting pitcher. It's not that easy. You can take a starter, make him a reliever, a lot easier than you can take a reliever, make him a starter. But he pitched really well tonight. As you say, he had the one-hour delay, not easy to come back after you wait and wait and you gear up and you have your schedule for the day and suddenly it all gets pushed back and you don't know exactly when the game is going to begin. Pitch great. When you walk one, you strike out nine, those type of ratios and give up one hit, that's pitching. And that's a great sign for Cincinnati that has struggled the last few years and has got a chance to continue to build.
Atlanta and the Mets. Atlanta wins in 12 innings, 3-1, but more great pitching. Bartolo Colon, older, almost older than Brandon Finnegan. Bartolo got his debut in Major League Baseball when Finnegan was 3 years old. All right, so tonight, Bartolo goes back into New York now as a member of the Braves. Six innings, two hits, one run, and six Ks. DeGrom matches him even a little bit better, took a no decision. Six shutout innings, a two-hit baseball, and six strikeouts. The velocity was right where it was. So no signs of issues with DeGrom's elbow after the offseason surgery. And for Bartolo Colon, just keeps doing what he's doing, and he shut down his old team tonight.
That is really remarkable when you think about it, that he's been able to pitch as long as he's been able to pitch. What team in baseball knows him better than the New York Mets? Hitters watch pitchers all the time, even their own. And there he was, and he pitched great. He pitched great tonight in New York. Six innings, two hits, a run, a walk, six strikeouts. Pitched very well. And you know that New York knew what he was trying to do. They knew his approach. They knew the sequence of pitches that he was most comfortable with. And still, he held a really good club to three base runners, a couple of hits, and a walk in six innings.
We're talking about young pitching. We're talking about old pitching. We're talking about pitching, though. We had a lot of great pitching. I thought Salazar Hamels would be better. Neither one of them really looked spectacular. But the last pitcher we got to get to, really there's two guys from Toronto and Baltimore. Jay Happ was really good. Seven innings, three runs, and nine Ks. But it's Dylan Bundy's the guy we got to talk about. Dylan Bundy, fastball upper 90s, swing and miss changeup, slider is great. It's all about health. He battled injuries his whole time down to the minors after he was the top pitching prospect in the game. Last year, flashes of brilliance. Tonight, he was brilliant against Toronto. Seven innings, four hits, a run, no walks, eight strikeouts. Had 15 swing and misses, 12 on that changeup that he has. Dylan Bundy, if he and Gausman can team with Tillman, they'll have some starting pitching. But Bundy, again, another guy, blows you away with his outing tonight.
Well, very good, and is somebody that, again, Baltimore season, they can play decent defense. They can put runs on the board. It's really going to come down to how they pitch. And Bundy, they've been waiting on for quite a while. Was a very high pick, just like Talion, only not as recently. I mean, more recently, but somebody that has gone through the injuries, as you say, and for a while is one of the top pitching prospects in baseball, and it's taken him a while. But again, he's won 10 games last year, had an ERA under 4 in the American League. Not easy to do. Pitched a lot out of the pen in his career up to date. But he's somebody that they've been waiting on. And a good performance tonight to give them a chance to build their rotation around some youth, as well as Tillman when he gets back, and Gausman.
Ned, you and I cannot say enough nice things about Lindor. I mean, as a person, we caught up with him in the World Series multiple times. Very level-headed guy. Played in the World Baseball Classic. Now, what he just did to Sam Dyson, he's a star. He might not be the biggest guy in the world, but boy, he is just so gifted. It's going to be fun watching this kid's career play out.
Well, as I mentioned a little while ago on the show, that I had a chance to spend some time with him at the World Series last year. And I'm just really impressed with his demeanor. Obviously, you can watch him play, and you know this kid has got a lot of talent. But just how he goes about his business on a daily basis. Two home runs tonight. I think the slider on the three-ball pitch to Amonte that went for ball four really set up Cleveland in this inning with Santana coming, and then Lindor for the grand slam. But this kid is going to be he's already a star in the league, but he is going to be somebody that I think will be the face of baseball here as time goes on. Just a young man, just a young player, but boy, oh boy, I tell you what, there's few like him.
It almost changes on a nightly basis, right? So one night it's Lindor, the next night it's Trey Turner, then it's Corey Seager, then it's Carlos Correa. You know, take your choice, but tonight it's Lindor. Two home runs, five RBIs, and he just gave his team a lead with one out in the top of the ninth inning. Well, this kid is brilliant.
It reminds me of a few years ago where you had Garcia Parra and you had mm-hmm. Jeter and you had A-Rod all in the American League, all in and around the same time when they started to come up, and suddenly you had all these great shortstops. And I think you're seeing the same thing. You just mentioned some young ones. There's more than that are really, really good players. And the shortstop position has really evolved. It used to be strictly a defensive position. It now is one of the positions that the players are taller. Corey Seager is the size of Cal Ripken Jr., about 6'4". Lindor is not that big, but Lindor's got good power, great hitter, over 300 lifetime career average already. Guy that's been to the World Series and almost won it. There's so many players. Correa has really started to ignite that Houston club the last couple years. On and on. Brandon Crawford is not that old a player. Been a world champion with San Francisco. Somebody that is really one of the leaders of that club, and somebody that has got great, great offensive ability and also plays wonderful defense. There's a lot of great young shortstops in baseball.
Well, they all do different things too, right? I mean, yes. You look at the body type of a Lindor versus a Corey Seager, it's not even close.
Oh,
Corey Seager is a monster. He is gigantic, 6'4", almost 6'5", so big. Francisco Lindor, not a gigantic guy, but and he does a lot of different things too. You know,
yes.
And I think defensively, he might be the best of all of them. Boy, is he special.
Yes, he is. And you know what? It's great to see. You got a lot of young players that are starting to be noticed around the game as the game continues to grow. And it's gotten to be a younger game. And you start to see it, especially at that position. A lot of really, really good players.
Hey, I'm looking at all these rain delays, Ned. And we got one right now, Philadelphia, Cincinnati. Hello to our audience there. Holden Kushner alongside Ned Coletti. We are MLB on TuneIn Live, presented by Esurance. So you got a rain out there. We had a pair of rainouts in Chicago. Why are we having games in the upper Midwest and even in Boston right now? Why are we having first week games in these areas when you know there is the potential for either really, really cold weather or precipitation? Because two of the first three games that the White Sox have had to play against the Tigers have been rained out. Did you guys ever look at this as general managers trying to schedule either in domes or out in the West Coast or down south?
Well, it's something I've thought about for a long time because there are 15 stadiums that are in either warm weather or covered, and that we don't play maybe the first 7 or 10 games of a season in those areas are kind of mind-boggling to me a bit, because it is tough for everybody when the weather is damp, when it's raining, when it's 40 degrees out. I don't know how many people enjoy going to the ballpark. We talk about pace of game. We talk about fan experience. We do a lot of different things that are very important to the fan and to the experience and to the players. And I think playing games where the weather is at least conducive to playing it in a pretty decent way needs to become part of the consideration to it, because there are enough stadiums to do it. You'd have maybe a couple there in a borderline area weather-wise, but what this does is it puts games later in your season, or puts a doubleheader into your first week of a season. Those are tough challenges teams have to get through. You know, I've been in California a long time, though, so I've been very spoiled after growing up in Chicago and going to Wrigley Field in early April and being part of that organization. I tell you what, it's a rough way to play. It's tough on the players, it's tough on your fans, and it's tough on your season and your schedule if you start building up doubleheaders because of rainouts the first week of the season.
Well, listen, I understand, too, that you don't want a team opening their season 10 games on the road. I mean, that's not the best equation, but you also don't want that team missing three games because of a rainout. So just looking at the schedule now, why would you start the season in Washington when you could have started it in Miami? Maybe it's because it's the year that the Nationals should have it, or maybe it's something where the organization say, hey, we actually want a game on opening day. I understand all that. I get it, but I'm also about minimizing risk. Baltimore and Toronto. Toronto, they have a shell on their stadium. Why would you start this thing in Baltimore when you could start it in Toronto? There's just certain,
things
that it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, why aren't they playing this? Well, that's the one where I can actually say, all right, maybe the stadium needs a couple of more days to get ready. They should have it done by now. But yeah, theoretically, Mets in Atlanta, why do you have the game out there? There's just a few games here that's it's mind-boggling.
Yep.
Why would you have, when you have a team with a dome in Miami, why do you have the game in D.C.? Doesn't make sense.
You got Seattle and Houston playing too. You could have split them up because they both are either a warm weather or in a under a roof.
Yeah, I mean, some people in Major League Baseball are like, hey, why do we only have 10,000 people in the stands tonight? Why do you have 10,000 people in the stands tonight? Because it's a Wednesday night and it's 40 degrees.
Yeah, and how many people stay for the entire game?
Yeah, there's not that many.
It's tough. No. You got school night, you got kids in school, and you've got bad weather. You can't give people a reason to say no.
I mean, they just had 20,000 less in Houston the day after opening day, the second game of the season. So you're already working against attrition after opening day. And then you add the elements into this. We had multiple postponements today. Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, and the White Sox. And then you've got Philadelphia and Cincinnati supposed to be raining all night there. Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That's it for the MLB on TuneIn Live Triple Play, presented by Esurance. Next up on the podcast, Ned and I dive a bit deeper into Wednesday's action with Best Day Ever, Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by Esurance. And we'll be right back with more after this.
TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy. Excellent young man. I appreciate you.
I gave you young man for that one. Save the tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian
is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing truth.
You have to.
I'm telling you what the outcome is going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right
truth
now.
Truth is the name of your
because
book.
Because you know Sell what's that book wrong again. And you know what's right. You would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happens.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name of the show is not shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's try this one.
That's our podcast.
Let me rephrase this one more time.
We're going to do that on Sunday.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones. And it's different now.
This is MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Coletti.
To quickly recap all the action from Wednesday's 13-game slate, Ned Coletti and I now bring you Best Day Ever, the Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking.
Best Day Ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
Francisco Lindor, how about him, with two home runs, including the go-ahead grand slam in the top of the ninth inning. No-brainer for me, Ned, if we're talking about best day ever. I don't know if it is Francisco Lindor's best day ever, but it's got to be pretty close in the bigs. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing home run tonight. Amazing display multiple times by Lindor. Nice plays out in the field as well. Francisco Lindor, my offensive best day ever.
Well, I'm going to go out to Boston, and we watched a scoreless game for 12 innings, pretty much 12 innings. I'm going to go with Leon, three-run home run in the 12th inning off Bastardo, broke the tie, send the Red Sox home victorious.
Sandy Leon, the Nationals didn't think he could hit, so they let him go. Boston has him, and he can hit. Yeah, let's just put it that way. Best day ever on the mound. Brandon Finnegan, it might be his best day ever, literally, in Major League Baseball. He did pitch in the World Series, but seven shutout innings of one-hit baseball for the Reds left-hander. 23-year-old struck out nine and walked one. After a one-hour rain delay, not a lot of people out there in Cincinnati watching that game, but boy, did he mow down the Phillies tonight. Brandon Finnegan, best day ever.
Well, I love that choice. I'm going to go with Chris Sale. This was not Chris Sale's best day ever, but it was his best day ever as a Boston Red Sox player. That I know. Seven innings, three hits, a walk, seven strikeouts, a lot of pressure on him coming in and needing to set that great first impression, and he did tonight in great form. Great fastball. Great slider, a lot of great backdoor sliders, but even more impressive in my mind was his changeup. His changeup off the fastball, unhittable.
Lots of home runs tonight. We keep track of those.
MLB on TuneIn Live, Home Run Tracker.
Nomar Mazara hits really long home runs, and he has the furthest home run tonight. 439 feet, 109 miles an hour off the bat. Nomar Mazara of the Rangers crushing that one. JT Realmuto with the best exit velocity off a home run. Went 110 miles an hour off the bat. The Marlins catcher's home run tonight, 376 feet. Joey Votto, highest launch angle, 36 degrees. He had a big one, too. 104 off the bat, 422 in the air. Jay Bruce literally hit the top of the wall in the 370 sign in Citi Field. Lowest launch angle, 19 degrees. That thing barely got off the ground. Now let's look a little deeper into some statistics.
Statistically speaking.
All right, Ned, through two games, the Twins have walked 16 times. And nine of them have come around to score. So a little patience for the Twins. I like that one. That's a good stat.
We've seen the value of the walk. We saw it in the Boston game. A couple walks lead to a home run by Leon. We saw it in the Cleveland win, where walks to key guys at the bottom of the order led to Santana and then led to Lindor. And we see it in Minnesota. They've taken advantage of pitchers' command issues, walked 16 times. 16 of those runs have scored. No way to defend a walk. You can't catch it. So you know what? You got to throw strikes. Minnesota making guys pay who don't.
How about Zach Britton, fifth pitcher in Major League history with a streak of 50 straight saves, his 50th straight save tonight. Eric Gagne, by the way, holds the record at 84 straight. And Britton, as you mentioned earlier, did not have his ace stuff tonight.
No, he struggled. He struggled with I think, life on his pitches. I thought that he was not the same guy that he was last year. Tough to tell where he's at. Had a huge year last year, historic year in so many ways. I didn't like what I saw tonight. I thought that he was vulnerable for one of the few times in the last year plus.
Well, he did pitch two innings on opening day, had a day off, but you know, we'll see what happened. Ultimately, he got the save in that game. How about at least seven innings of shutout baseball and seven Ks in a Red Sox debut? Here's the last four to do it. Pedro Martinez, Hideo Nomo, Eduardo Rodriguez, Chris Sale. Two of those guys are unlike the others. I'm going to go Chris Sale and Pedro Martinez.
Yes.
Nomo, you know, nice career. Yeah, big name coming over from Japan. Threw a no-hitter. Liked what he did. Eduardo Rodriguez still trying to find his niche in the majors. But Sale and Pedro, boy, Sale was good tonight. That was fun to see. But Jameson Taillon, don't let Chris Sale just run the headlines there. Taillon had a great one, too.
Matched him inning by inning. Really a good start for a young pitcher that Pittsburgh needs to be one of their stalwarts in the middle of that staff.
All right, I think I have something that we're probably going to end up seeing every night in statistically speaking notes from our producer, Abe Gordon. Yasiel Puig has a home run tonight. The Padres have now gone 7,655 games without a no-hitter. 7,655 games without a no-hitter. I think Bartolo Colon has pitched in that many games, though, so is it really that impressive? How do you go that long without a no-hitter? I know the Mets had done it, and Johan Santana finally did it and blew his arm out doing it. But, man, that's
one of those freak stats of baseball. Hard to believe,
lucky,
but you know what?
Sometime.
Oh, yeah. Especially in a team that's had really good pitching for many, many years. You look at the teams that Bud Black managed and even Bochy for a while. Those teams were really built around good pitching. Not one of those on the belt yet.
That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure you join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each night for MLB on TuneIn Live, where you'll not only hear more of what you heard in today's podcast, but you also hear live listen-ins to the games and you get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin back in the LA studio, Ned Coletti alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.